We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Steelers beat writer from The Athletic is our guest. And Mark, you know, if I'm famous for the Steelers should sign Jameis Winston, I think Mark, Chris, is famous for the Steelers are going to draft Jonathan Taylor. I think Mark was the first guy. He was the Columbus sailing the ocean blue on the Jonathan Taylor idea to the Steelers in the second round. And Mark, it's like you're the Pied Piper of these mock drafts. You put it out there, and then everybody else seemed to follow, right?
Yeah, first of all, I'd like to say you're for Jameis Winston coming here. I haven't heard you say that yet.
We could get into it in this segment if you'd like, Mark. Lord knows I'd love to.
I never heard that from you before, so I was kind of taken back. As for Jonathan Taylor, I mean, yeah, he would be a perfect fit right there at 49. It seems like his number, his stock is falling a little bit, even though he ran that, what, sub 4.4 at the combine. I think it's a lot to do with those close to 1,000 carries in college in 3 years. People were skeptical of that, but you have to get to that point where you're at 49 and you base what's available with what the needs are specifically for the Steelers, and they seem to line up pretty well there. I mean, J.K. Dobbins from Ohio State could be another one right there. I mean, I'm still pretty bullish on them taking a wide receiver in the draft, you know, within the next couple weeks. We might have another mock draft to suggest that, because I think that's where the most value will be when they're at 49, but I wouldn't count out a running back, you know, especially if you have a guy like Jonathan Taylor, J.K. Dobbins at that spot.
Mark, how much emphasis do the Steelers still put on that position? Like, just philosophically overall, I'm not talking just with this draft. So many teams we see, unless it's a Saquon Barkley, a Christian McCaffrey, a generational talent, are trying to avoid picking that position in the first round, maybe even in the second round. Do the Steelers feel similarly, or do they really feel like that's still a very important spot on the field and worthy in your mind, in their minds, of a high draft pick?
What I think it is now is, I think, yeah, if you, maybe not a first-round pick, definitely, you know, not top 20 in the first round, but if you get a guy of that caliber, you know, in 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, would probably go in the top 10 overall. But I think where the philosophy might have changed is a little bit is that second contract sort of, I mean, we've heard that from the Willie Parker days 10 years ago, running the wheels off these guys the first 3 or 4 years, then moving on to the next one. That might be where the philosophy, not just with the Steelers, just in the NFL in general, if you can get a good guy early who can jump in. And the key is playing right away with a lot of these guys, because if you're waiting around a year or two and trying to get guys developed, I mean, that does you no good either. You got to get a guy in there right away, run the wheels off, and don't pay him, and move on to the next one. I know so many people say you can find these guys anywhere, and that's the truth. You can find guys in the fifth round, sixth round, undrafted. But it's hard to find that guy. You can find a guy, but to find that guy is not easy, because forever, every, you know, Willie Parker out there for the Steelers, there's, you know, Fitzgerald, Toussaint, and Gary Russell's out there as well, where you try to bring him in, and they don't pan out.
Hey, Gary Russell scored the first touchdown in Super Bowl 43, Mark. You were there. You remember it. He had a big moment in Steelers history, Gary Russell.
The only moment, I believe, of his career. I think he returned a couple kicks. I think he was Minnesota, right?
Yep.
Tony, you would know that,
yep.
Right? Minnesota.
Hey, Mark, why are
I don't remember much about him, though.
Speaking of Marks, why are so many out there now talking about the Steelers bringing back Mark Barron? I mean, didn't they see Mark Barron? Didn't they see enough of him in year one to say, no, thank you? I mean, they cut him for a reason, right, Mark?
Yeah. I mean, in my experience with the Steelers, when they cut you, you're pretty much done with you. You know, maybe Larry Fulton was an exception, because he just thought he can go get some more money somewhere else, and they didn't want to pay him. But there's a reason why you cut him in the first place. You felt that he didn't fit in with what you were doing. Now, if they had
Willie Gay got back here, Mark, after and played a lot of years here after they cut him loose.
But to Mark's point, Chris, a guy leaving in free agency and then coming back is different than them cutting somebody, which is what happened with Barron.
I think people are adding things up here and realize that they need a inside linebacker. You know, most notably a guy that's pretty familiar with what they're doing, and a guy who's a veteran, knowing that they have four guys right now and two of them have played one career defensive snap, and the other guy's 30 and a half, and his snap's cut in half from last year. So they need somebody there. You look around the free agency market, there's not much there. You look around the draft, and even if you do get one at 49, there's no guarantee that he's going to come in and play right away. So if you add that all up, it might make sense to bring him back. But if they let him go in the first place, first of all, why would he want to come back? Probably at a very reduced rate. And second of all, why would they want him back? Because the one thing that he struggled at last year, the one thing they brought him in for, that was covering tight ends and running backs and coverage in general.
Mark, I keep hearing people say, like, there's this idea, and I think this is a valuable position in the NFL, try to get as many of those run-and-chase inside linebackers, almost safety hybrids as you can. These tweener players now are more and more valuable with the way the league offense is kind of played. Do you get the sense that the Steelers are going to try to make Terrell Edmunds into any sort of that kind of player? Like, have him play a lot closer to the line of scrimmage a lot more often now that Minkah Fitzpatrick's going to have more time to learn their defense?
Well, I think it's going to be a lot like last year. He did that a lot last year when Minkah came in. He came to the line a little bit more. He's not going to be like Mark Barron and be a strict linebacker. He is kind of still small for that. So I don't think that would happen. Plus, I mean, they don't have any safety depth either right now unless you're moving Cam Sutton or Mike Hilton, or expecting Jordan Dangerfield to be your safety right now. So there's an issue right there, too. I could see more of scheming, as in maybe sometimes he'll be in the box. Maybe sometimes they'll do that big look where they take Bud Dupree. I think he's from, the weak side, and put him more of an inside linebacker. They'll put Vince Williams in there at times from, against run-heavy teams, like we saw last year against Baltimore a couple of times. I think there's going to be a lot of mix and matching there right now, unless they have something up their sleeve, and I don't really know if they do. I mean, like I said, unless you're assuming Ulysses Gilbert is going to turn from a six-round pick at Akron that had a, half a year miss because of a back injury, he's all of a sudden going to be, Leighton Vander Esch or somebody like that. I don't think that's going to happen. So I would imagine that there's going to be some kind of scheme attached to what they want to do right now. The thing that stinks is we can't see during OTAs, mini camp, and maybe not even training camp what their plan is. So I guess we're just going to have to wait and see, because I can guarantee they're not going to tell us. So we just have to wait and see.
Mark, I'm curious what you think of Kevin Colbert's idea that because the draft this year is going to be so radically different than every other year, really, prior to this in recent memory, that teams be given three extra rounds be added, basically, to give teams more of a cushion, more leeway in case they screw up some picks because they're running at an information deficit relative to normal. What do you think of that?
I think these general managers, these personnel guys, need to, check themselves a little bit here. How much information do they possibly don't have on these guys? Seriously, no. We're talking about, first of all, they had a year to prepare for all of this, guys. They send guys everywhere. I mean, just because they miss a pro day or a dinner or might not have a medical and an undrafted free agent, we're doing some radical changes to the draft. I think they're just being a little bit nervous of how this situation is going to unfold because it's different, obviously. So I think that's kind of, crazy talk right there. They got plenty of time. They got plenty of information. They got every single medical possible on these guys. I don't know what the difference is. Like I said, if you're going to pick a seventh-round pick and you're choosing between a guy that has a bad knee and a guy that you think might be healthy, I mean, how are we going to change the whole draft because of that? I think it's just these guys being a little bit nervous about the situation here. And I tell you one thing, though. if it was one good year that the Steelers didn't have early picks and a lot of picks, it might be this year. Because, you know, if you do get put in that case early in the draft of, I don't know if I want to trade, I don't know who I'm going to take, what can happen in, you know, like last year? Like, could you possibly imagine last year happening where they moved up 10 spots to Devin Bush happening this year? It'd be a chaotic event for him. You don't have to worry about that this year. So if there's one good thing about it is they got one pick at 101 or whatever it was, and three picks in 103. So I don't think it affects the Steelers more than anybody else, but I wouldn't change anything. I think these scouts, GM, are just, you know, a little bit nervous of how it might work out.
Mark, one more thing. I'm far from like a terminology nerd or anything like that, but I know 12 personnel is a big, you know, two tight end set. Correct me if I'm speaking out of class here, but I've seen that referenced a lot with a lot of different teams, 12 versus 11 personnel. I know that Ben Roethlisberger, when he was talking about Eric Ebron, made it very like it was conspicuous, let's put it this way. Then in, I think, his second answer about Ebron, to a question about Ebron, he mentioned Vance McDonald. Do you expect the Steelers to, if both of those guys can stay healthy, to try to really exploit matchups and go with a heavier look on a more regular basis in 2020?
I think heavy is relative because I don't know if we can really consider Eric Ebron being a heavy. When you're thinking heavy, you're doing two tight ends, but you're hoping on occasion both those tight ends are going to be blocking, and I don't think that's the best-case scenario Eric Ebron was told he was going to be put in. I'm sure, I mean, he can block. He's an NFL-caliber player, but that's not where you want to put him at. So I think what we'll do is just be able to get those two guys on the field and at the same time to be able to present different type of matchups through some sort of motioning, some sort of, you know, even calls at the line by Roethlisberger to be able to potentially have a mismatch and all of a sudden you have a linebacker on Ebron instead of on, you know, a guy like Vance McDonald and all of a sudden a big play happens. Maybe you have to go more heavy than you can exploit somebody like Juju or Deontay down the field where Roethlisberger can make those calls at the line of scrimmage. I think it just gives them a whole bunch of different options right there, but I can't really see them, you know, lining up in third and one and really trying to pound ball with Eric Ebron. I think they'll bring in third tackle or a fullback or put Derek Watt as sort of that wing back tight end type of position rather than they would force Ebron into a position where he's not very good at.
Chris, thanks for extending the interview so I could jump back in and ask a Jameis Winston question. Mark, one of the hypotheticals about Winston that people seem to use as a barrier, as a way of saying it can't happen, is the idea that Ben Roethlisberger would feel threatened or would be bothered by sharing a quarterback room with Jameis Winston. I used to talk to Roethlisberger once a week. You see him all the time in the locker room. Do you actually believe that Roethlisberger would be put off by sharing that room with a former starting quarterback?
Maybe not him per se, but I don't think maybe the Steelers, you know, brass would want to do that to him. They already committed to Roethlisberger for this year and next year extensively by restructuring his contract. So even if you do bring in Winston, even on the cheap, even for a year or two, they're still committing to Roethlisberger. And I don't think they would be comfortable of having him behind him like that. That's just my opinion right there, even if it could do them good if he gets hurt. I think they're in a better position if, you know, in training camp early in the season, if it's quite evident that Roethlisberger can't throw the ball, they can go out and get somebody potentially better than Mason Rudolph. I just think they made a strong commitment to Roethlisberger for this year and next year. And honestly, who knows after that? So I think that's one of the reasons why they wouldn't want to bring him in as, you know, part of the, you know, organizational philosophy more than Roethlisberger. I don't think he'd be looking over his shoulder for that fact, Roethlisberger, but I don't think he would mind that very much. If this was Ben's last year of his contract, I'd be all for the Winston thing here, but knowing that there's another one there and they committed so much money to him, I would be a little leery to even pursue that just for that fact.
Fair enough. Mark Cabali, read him in The Athletic. Check out his takes on The Karate Kid. They're all there, not only on The Athletic, but also on his Twitter feed. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it.
All right, guys.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.